With his innovative TV cop series, The Shield, starring Michael Chiklis as a rogue cop, series creator Sean Ryan put the FX network on the map. Tonight he unveils a new police drama, but this time the central characters are honest. And this time the series isn't made for cable. Our TV critic David Bianculli has this review.
If you watched the Super Bowl yesterday, you saw plenty of promos for the new cop show from Fox. It's called The Chicago Code, and it's kind of the flip side of The Shield. It may turn out to be just as compelling. In The Shield, Vic Mackey and company were corrupt cops who would kill even their fellow officers to protect their power base and their often ill-gotten gains. Yet over the years, we rooted for Vic, rather than for the various police captains and lieutenants who tried to expose and fire him. He was like Tony Soprano with a badge. It was easy to like the guy, so long as you didn't look too closely. The Chicago Code, premiering tonight, flips that equation. In this show, the big corrupt figure is Alderman Ronan Gibbons, played by a smooth-looking Delroy Lindo from Get Shorty. He's got the makings of a classic TV villain and plays each scene with an almost snake-like smugness, like a black Chicago version of J.R. Ewing. Gibbons is a Chicago power broker with his hand in everything, legal or illegal. He recently appointed the city's first female police superintendent, Teresa Colvin, played by Jennifer Beals from Showtime's The L Word. He expects her to be subservient, naive, and easily controlled. It's the same logic that got Jimmy Stewart appointed as a junior senator in Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, and Teresa's appointment backfires just as quickly. She, too, is incorruptible and annoyingly persistent, and she decides to target Gibbons with a secret investigation. She enlists as her major confidant her former partner when she was a cop on the beat, Jarek Wysocki, played by another Showtime cable star, Jason Clark from Brotherhood. At first, he's reluctant to come aboard, until she reveals her whole card.
You know what, I like to fight the good fight as much as the next guy, but I'm not ready to start walking in there and start throwing haymakers at a heavyweight like Gibbons.
What if I told you that Gibbons was working with the Irish mob?
I've heard the rumors. I've yet to see any of the proof.
Well, how's this for ammo? I've got a cop working undercover in their organization.
Undercover? How long?
Almost a year. He's working his way up the ladder, and pretty soon he's going to give us the connection to Gibbons. What would you say to that?
The fight just got fairer.
That's right.
There's one other key character in the Chicago Code, at least in its first three episodes. That's Caleb Evers, Jarek's brand new squad car partner. He's young, he's smart, and he's played by Matt Loria, who plays Luke Cafferty on Friday Night Lights. All three of these good guy cops come from excellent TV shows and turn in very strong performances. Matt Loria is understated but confident and lets you see the intelligence behind his character's silences. Jennifer Beals is strong enough to stand firm while dismissing a veteran cop who's furious at her, yet playful enough at other times to flash a quick smile or a quicker insult. And Jason Clark, as the moral center of the Chicago Code, is instantly likable. Well, not instantly. The entire pre-credit sequence of tonight's pilot, the all-important first impression, is so over the top. It plays like an expensive parody of a TV cop show rather than a real one. But ignore that. Let the dust settle and relax, because from that point on, the Chicago Code quickly finds its way. That way borrows a little from The Wire, HBO's landmark series about entrenched corrupt city institutions, and a little from Easy Streets, the vintage Paul Haggis cop series that gave equal weight to its good guys and its bad guys. But hey, those are great places to start. And what Sean Ryan is doing here that is quite original, and maybe almost revolutionary, is that he's swimming against the current of 21st century television. These days, almost all the smart and best shows are on cable, and the best TV talent has defected from broadcast to cable TV. Sean Ryan, who helped lead that revolution, is now reversing field. There aren't many intelligent shows left on broadcast television, but there are a few. The Good Wife, 30 Rock, Modern Family. And maybe, just maybe, like a few honest cops in a corrupt system, their presence and their efforts still can make a difference.
David Bianculli is founder and editor of TVWorthWatching.com and teaches TV and film history at Rowan University in New Jersey. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Audrey Bentham. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Our associate producer for online media is Melody Kramer. Roberta Shurrock directs the show. I'm Terry Gross. We'll close with a recording by the cabaret singer Mary Claire Herron. She died Saturday, 2 days after being hit by a car. She was 58. This is from her 1994 recording of classic songs from movies of the 1940s.
Maybe it happens this way. Maybe we really belong together. But after all, how little we know. Maybe it's just for a day. Love is as changeable as the weather. And after all, how little we know. Who knows why an April breeze never remains? Why stars in the trees hide when it rains? Love comes along.
Actor Jonathan Cosreed has an unusual talent, playing the token white guy. Whether it be a Neanderthal caveman, a gun enthusiast, or a hapless boyfriend, he's made a career out of playing white men in Chinese soap operas. As NPR's Louisa Lim reports, his decade at the front line of Chinese popular culture has given him a unique perspective.
那小姑娘,你准备好?准备好了。It's the typical Chinese chop-socky kung fu film, with a mustachioed baddie fighting a plucky heroine, both of them kicking and whirling, all the while balancing atop red poles arranged in a yin-yang symbol. But there's just one big difference. Despite his fluent Mandarin, the mustachioed baddie flying through the air is actually American. For 37-year-old Jonathan Cosreed, it's just an average day's work. This LA native is a fixture on Chinese screens. He's become the go-to guy for roles that require a white face and flawless Chinese. But Cosreed says about 40% of his jobs call for one particular role.
I'm, you know, the American, and I'm like this rich guy who's arrogant, and I come to China arrogantly, and I fall in love with an oriental beauty, and I pursue her for however long it is, 10, 12, 20 episodes. But in the end, she makes the right choice, and she sticks with her Chinese boyfriend.
That was the case in Princess Derling, a historical drama where Cosreed is told he can't be with his love, a Qing dynasty princess. Cosreed is now a veteran of 90 different Chinese showbiz projects. He's drawn his own conclusions on the view of Americans in Chinese popular culture. To sum it up, brash and naive, but ultimately sympathetic.
I can't think of an evil character that I've played who is American. For the most part, the evil characters are French and English, and the dumb characters are German.
So what are Americans stereotyped as?
Usually Americans are stereotyped as the good guy. There's a lot of stuff that's done about World War II, where Americans worked with China, and there's a lot of stuff that's done during the Qing Dynasty, when America was not a major China enemy like England and France. This is me being a gun expert. I'm the hotshot guy teaching him how to use the fancy American machine gun.
Cosreed believes a recent spate of World War II movies is due to China celebrating being on the right side of history. He attributes this to a growing mood of nationalism. Other changes he's noticed include better, more rounded parts for foreigners. Despite that, he still worries about the decade he spent perpetuating Chinese stereotypes of Westerners.
How do I, and how do like foreign actors in general here deal with the Uncle Tom question? We are helping to shape Chinese people's perceptions of what foreigners are. The simple answer is that everybody draws a line in the sand. And where my line is I won't play anybody who's bad because he's a foreigner.
Cosreed's fame was magnified by his own TV show. He describes it as a kind of Chinese Jackass. It's called Here Comes Tao Tao, which is his Chinese name, and it's based on his foreignness. In it, he takes to the streets and gets people to dance with him, profess their love for each other out loud, and be silly in a most un-Chinese way. He doesn't spare himself either, doing stunts like learning how to be a Hooters girl. The show has been hugely popular among Beijing's grannies and grandpas.
If I go to a park in the morning where people are doing their Tai Chi and walking backwards, I'll get mobbed. Like, oh my God, it's Tao Tao, it's Tao Tao, oh my God. I'm at a real nice level of famousness where sometimes when I can't get a cab, somebody will pull up and be like, hey, Tao Tao, come on, I'll drive you.
When we meet, Cosreed and his family are being filmed by Chinese TV. It's a special on how famous people raise their kids. Cosreed has terrible flu, but ever the trooper, has been roused from his sickbed to dance with his four-year-old daughter for the cameras. Producer Linda Yu believes Chinese audiences are fascinated by Cosreed.
He and his wife are an East-West mix, so they have different ideas about how to raise a child. He's been in a lot of shows on TV, so the Chinese media pay attention to him.
So, with his Chinese wife, is he living the stereotype as the arrogant American who falls in love with the Oriental beauty? No, he insists. In the shows, the Chinese wives of Americans suffer one of three fates. They turn bad, they die, or they live out their lives in unhappiness. These are yet more stereotypes his family is determined to resist. Louisa Lim, NPR News, Beijing.
The February 7 issue of TV Guide has an announcement across the top of the cover. Attention MTV, cancel Skins now. Skins is an edgy news series that says it's an inside look at the reality of teen life. Its detractors say the sex and drugs on the program are being done by underage actors. Many adults are appalled. NPR's Karen Grigsby Bates went to find out what kids think.
If there really is no such thing as bad publicity, MTV should be very happy.
Parents are outraged over a new MTV show.
Scantily clad teenagers, gratuitous drug use, and
all
violence.
All young kids, like an orgy, they're all over each
the
other, half
called
naked.
Skins, and they show a lot of it.
The concept for Skins began in the UK about 5 years ago, when executive producer Brian Elsley was spending time with his son, then a college freshman.
He came over one evening to have dinner with me and spent the evening shooting my ideas down in flames.
Jamie Britton told his dad he should create a series about teen life as teens see it, not as adults wished teens behave. So Skins was born.
This program is rated TV MA and is intended for mature audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
Elsley says both the UK and US versions consult an advisory board of teens to keep the show real.
We proceed from the point of view of teenagers, which I think is sometimes why people might find things a little bit uncomfortable, because proceeding from the point of view of young people can be difficult.
To say the least. The first two episodes showed drug buys, heavy drinking, and a teen lesbian hookup. Several groups have complained vigorously and publicly that Skins is exploiting its young cast. Elsley says there is no exploitation. He believes Skins is an optimistic look at teen life, but has this caveat.
I think it's fair to say that Skins is like reality elevated one notch.
And at least in that respect, he has support from 14-year-old Ben Sachs.
To me, from what I hear from my friends in high school, I don't think anyone is really doing it in this scale that they make it out to be in Skins.
He's sitting in his parents' sunny living room just south of Los Angeles with his sister Miriam, 13, and friend Sebastian Molter, who's 12. Skins set a record at its debut with over 3 million viewers in his 12 to 34 demographic, but these kids say it's not for them. Miriam Sachs says the show's frankness could be scary.
Just based off of watching Skins, it would kind of make you feel like intimidated to like grow up and you just be like, okay, I just want to stay here. And you don't really want to, like, see what happens.
Sebastian Molter says the behavior in Skins could be guidance for what you don't want to do.
Maybe if you figure out that you don't want to do that stuff, then you go to the group which, like, plays basketball, for instance, or something.
Around the country, Skins has become a topic of conversation for kids and their parents. Jasmine Graham is a guidance counselor for a middle school in Maryland. She says parents will have a hard time keeping kids away from the show if the kids are determined to see it.
If they want to, they can go to a friend's house and watch it. They can watch it on their laptop. You know, some of my students are more computer savvy than I am. They know about websites I haven't even heard of.
Major advertisers like Taco Bell and General Motors have withdrawn from the show. There's been a 50% drop-off in viewers since the initial airing. That combination may force MTV to ponder whether continued support of the show is worth the headache. Stay tuned, or not. Karen Grigsby Bates, NPR News.
Over on the cable channel FX, the drama Justified begins its second season this week. It's about a U.S. Marshal based in Kentucky, but critic Eric Deggan says it's not your usual cop drama. That's because the lead character is part of an interesting trend on FX, smart and emotionally complex working-class heroes.
Here's a few things Raylan Givens definitely is not. Lazy, insecure, unsophisticated, or stupid. Givens is a modern-day U.S. Marshal with the soul of a sheriff from the Old West, as streetwise and smart as you might imagine.
Whoa, okay, I'm just going to ask you one question. Do you know how a firearm works?
Here, he's just doused an angry sex offender with gasoline, trying to convince him to put down his gun.
The key word in firearm is fire. When the pin hits the cap, it makes the charge explode, meaning there's a spark, which should be of some concern to a man soaked in gasoline. Can we just try to end this without you turning yourself into the human torch?
Played by actor Timothy Oliphant, Raylan Givens is the opposite of the stereotypes we're often fed about working-class men on television. In Givens' world, catching the bad guys and winning the shootouts is the easy part. Mastering his life and the unpredictable moves of those he loves most, that's what keeps him up at night. And he's not alone. Look across the wide range of dramas FX offers, and you see lots of similar shades. The wisecracking, self-destructive fireman Tommy Gavin in Rescue Me. The crafty, streetwise biker gang leader Jax Teller in Sons of Anarchy. And the overextended, desperate, ex-heavyweight champ, Patrick Lights Leary, in Lights Out.
How far behind were we?
Margin of error.
I told Teresa we'd have a car back by tomorrow.
They're asking for the first few months prepaid.
What about the bingo money?
IRS garnished it.
What?
Either by design or accident, FX has lined up a mighty array of working-class anti-heroes. Seriously flawed fellows, scuffling and scraping for a living, while trying to hold their families together against the longest odds you can imagine. To insult such men, some might call them white trash. Elsewhere on TV, they're lighthearted buffoons like Larry the Cable Guy or that bickering father and son from American Chopper. But on FX, they have emotional intelligence. They have depth. And they just happen to lead some of the best, most sophisticated dramas on television. FX seems to be slyly rewriting the rules for white working-class characters right before our eyes. And in exchange, we get some of the best, most exciting, unorthodox figures on series television. Pretty good bargain, if you ask me.
Eric Deggans is the TV and media critic for the St. Petersburg Times. And this is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.